The Retirement Conversation focuses on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join Joe and Dennis and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who have created interesting second acts. You'll take away practical ideas and tips to create your own. At Retirement Wisdom, we as retirement coaches help people think through their transition into retirement, as well as those who are in the early part of retirement but are looking for more from this stage of their lives. To find out more about us and how we can help you, you can schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with us. Simply go to retirementwisdom.com. On the top left corner, click on Get a Free Consultation. We would welcome the opportunity to speak to you. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to today's Retirement Conversation with our guest, Chris Mamula. Chris used principles of traditional retirement planning combined with creative lifestyle design to retire from his career as a physical therapist at age 41. He, his wife, and young daughter then made a cross-country move from Pennsylvania to Utah to pursue their passion for outdoor adventure. After poor experiences with the financial industry, early in his professional life, Chris educated himself on investing and tax planning. Now he draws on his experience to write about wealth building, do-it-yourself investing, financial planning, early retirement, and lifestyle design at the blog, Can I Retire Yet? Chris, welcome, and thanks for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to add to your bio?
No, you guys got it pretty well there. Thanks for having me.
Great.
Chris, when and how did you first come across the FIRE movement, financial independence and early retirement? And what specifically caught your interest?
So my wife and I, we were kind of, I guess, on the path to FIRE from the beginning of our careers, which went back to the early 2000s before we knew that FIRE was a thing. I would say around 2011, 2012 is when I actually discovered FIRE through some blogs called Early Retirement Extreme and Mr. Money Mustache. And I kind of realized that what we wanted to do was maybe actually possible. Up until that point, we were just saving a lot of money with no real goal and no real plan.
And tell us the story about your journey to FIRE.
So we started, I graduated about a year after my wife in 2001. And I was always just raised being extremely debt averse. And my wife, she had not a lot of debt, but probably about $20,000 or so of debt. And that freaked me out as we were planning to get married. So we kind of came up with a plan that since she was already out of school, she was kind of supporting us and paying off her debt. And then anything I made, I was working part-time while I was going to grad school, I was going to go to pay her debt off. And then once I got my professional job, within my first couple of paychecks, we were completely debt-free. And we kind of found that that system was working well. We were able to live off of her income. So we just started banking my income. And so we were basically, and we had pretty, we had different careers, but pretty parallel career paths. So basically, we just continued to live off her income and bank mine. So we were essentially saving 50% from the beginning. And, but along the way, we were making a lot of mistakes with our investments. And we didn't really have a plan or a goal or even really believe it was truly possible for people like us to retire in our 30s or 40s, because you don't see that anywhere. And so that's where kind of discovering FIRE and the blogs kind of motivated us and gave us some direction.
You wrote a great article recently that I saw on MarketWatch about the challenges in the first year of early retirement. What's that first year been like for you?
It was challenging. In some ways, it was better than anticipated. And in some ways, it was a lot harder than anticipated. I think a lot of the challenge for us, we took on a lot of big changes at one time. I completely left my career as a physical therapist. And then about 6 months later, we picked up our family and moved across the country from Pennsylvania to Utah. So we had like changes in our roles where my wife has been working part-time since she had our daughter. So she was like really doing the bulk of the work at home. And I kind of became the stay-at-home dad. We lost, a full professional income. And then we picked up and had our support system in Pennsylvania and went to a totally different place 2,000 miles away. So it was a lot of change at one time and just a lot of adjustment. And it kind of, I think, shocked our systems a little bit more than we were prepared for.
Was there one particular thing, like the social adjustment, did you find the hardest, or they all come at you at the same time? They're all equal to you from the standpoint as impact goes.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough question, because I don't think there was one thing. I think it was just this accumulation of, I think one of the big drivers for me, so I was a physical therapist. I didn't hate my job. I mean, there was a lot of rewarding aspects, but I also didn't love it. And I was just kind of, I was very bored, I think, and kind of burnt out. but kind of I worked at the same company for about 15 years, and kind of just every aspect of my life had become kind of routine, and I kind of knew what I was doing, and kind of had a sense of mastery of almost every aspect of my life, from my workout routine to my going to work and seeing my patients and everything. And all of a sudden, everything was just brand new. And that first 6 months went pretty smooth. But then once we moved, I mean, everything was completely new. And I think it was just a lot of change at one time. And I think that was the biggest thing.
So with a big move like that, too, there's always some surprise. What's been the most surprising thing about your transition in the first year?
So I think, like a lot of people planning for retirement, I think I was just, I kind of had this vision in my head, like I was going to have total freedom. And that was really appealing to me. And what I've really found in this first year is I really desire some routine and some structure. And I think when every day is like a Saturday, that sounds really appealing when you're working, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week from Monday through Friday. But like, even when I was in my career, what I found was, I would get up every morning at like 5 o'clock. I would do my workout. I would shower. I would write for about an hour, all before I went to work. And that forced structure kind of caused me to get things done. And a lot of times when I was working on my Saturdays, I would kind of find like my days would just blow by and I wouldn't do anything productive. And that's kind of what I found myself doing some of these days. Like, you feel like you're gonna have so much free time and it just gets filled. And if you're not very intentional about how it gets filled, you kind of find like your days just kind of can start wasting away. So I actually like structure, and I'm kind of trying to implement that in my life now. And we don't have a set routine yet. We kind of keep modifying things with the move and with the change in seasons and with having a young child. But I'm trying to kind of find that structure and that routine.
So as you know, there's been a lot being written about these days on FIRE in the mainstream, quote unquote, media. What's your take on the upsides and downsides of FIRE, especially for people who are just beginning to learn about it?
I don't know if this exactly is going to answer your question, but when I see these articles in the mainstream media, it kind of drives me a little bit batty because I think they kind of really miss the point. I think a couple of these articles, like there was one in the New York Times that really took off and it was very popular. I think everybody kind of jumped on and they had to have their FIRE article. And I think people, they kind of want to write what they want to write, or they're trying to get something out quickly and they're not really learning about it. Like, I know there was one in the Wall Street Journal and it talked about, there was an attorney, I believe, and she was going to try to retire with $2 million. And it said, what does that look like? And it says brown bananas. And like, she's like basically skimping on every penny. And that's totally opposite to myself and everybody who I've ever met in this FIRE movement. I don't think we're skimping at all. I think actually we tend to live better lives in the long run because we're able to look at the world a little bit differently and make changes in the short run. So like, for example, my life right now, kind of, we live in Utah. I think they scan your pass. And I just asked the other day, like, how many days did I go? And I think I'm up to like 46 days of skiing this year. And even on the path to retirement, we traveled a lot. I definitely don't feel like I ever scrimped and sacrificed anything really, but we really just kind of lined our life up, lined our spending up with our values. And when you do that, it doesn't have to be that hard. And I think a lot of the mainstream articles missed that point.
You talked about that part about aligning with your core values. And what is that? How hard was that for you to do?
So in a lot of ways, I think my upbringing and my wife's upbringing was, we didn't come from a lot of money. And I think that was actually a big advantage for us because growing up, my dad started his own business. And so just, he was kind of attached to that, and we didn't get to do big trips and traveling, and we didn't always, we always had the necessities. We always felt like loved and appreciated, but we never really had a lot of luxuries in our life. And so when my wife and I both had professional incomes, I don't really think that we had that that need to start spending it all right away. And so, like I told you a little bit about our background, like, we started just living off my wife's income and we were very happy, so we didn't feel a need to spend every penny to try to chase happiness. And so we kind of just put our money to things that would buy us our long-term freedom. We basically paid our house off quickly, started investing in things that were going to produce income for us. And along the way, we were able to have enough to spend because we never had a car payment ever. We paid our house off in like 7 years. So most people are paying a mortgage forever. We only had a very short period where we had a house payment. And so when you free up all that money, it leaves a lot for the fun stuff in life, rather than kind of being married to mortgage payments, car payments, and it also lets you start paying less taxes as you have some freedom with your income, and you can use tax-deferred retirement accounts. So there's a lot of things you can do that actually make your life better if you're willing to kind of just make a couple of big changes versus trying to skimp on your bananas and not going to get your latte and these things that people talk about all the time, and they're really just nonsense and they don't move the needle.
Sounds like the bananas are green.
Yes. We actually buy organic bananas, yeah, believe it or not.
Oh, sure.
And we still retired early.
Yeah. No, it's funny when you say that, because I took our son, our youngest is 17, up to my hometown last weekend up north of Boston where I grew up. So I grew up poor as well. We didn't have bananas, as I recall. And he was asking about, boy, where'd you go on vacation? I said, we never went on vacation. We maybe went to a state park or something occasionally, but that was not part of the lexicon, the experience. But I think it does tie the values and expectations and priorities, which makes a lot of sense. So there are some people who will listen to this podcast and are listening right now who are still working. They're still grinding away. And some of them, partially based on media reports, don't think early retirement's possible for them. They think it's an impossible concept. As you know, there's a lot of articles about, we'll never retire. It's just not part of the picture going forward. For people like that, what advice would you offer them?
So we kind of talked a little bit about my journey. And originally, what my wife and I were thinking is like that same thought, like, this doesn't happen to people like us. Like, you can't really retire. And then we found this whole FIRE movement, and it was like, okay, this is actually really simple. And I don't know like how in depth you guys go with technical concepts and like what your audience, but we learned about the 4% rule. And it's like, oh, well, this is easy. You figure out what you spend, you save 25 times that, you can take 4%. And then as we really dove into the math of retirement is really challenging for anybody, especially like an early retiree, and you have to figure out healthcare and figure out what is that number that you're actually going to spend. And so kind of what we figured out is you can't really change the math of retirement, and it's pretty unforgiving if you get it wrong, but you can really change how you work with it. And so like I say I am retired, but we still have my wife's part-time income of about 30 hours a week, and that covers most of our spending. And so even though we gave up my full income and my wife cut back 5-6 years ago on her work, we're actually technically still probably saving a little bit. We're basically breaking even. But we have an amazing lifestyle where we have a ton of flexibility and freedom. So some people will say I'm not really retired, and fine, guilty. I don't really care to have that argument. The key for me is like, what is the lifestyle you actually want and how can you create that? And don't defer all your gratification, because that day might never come. Instead, kind of figure out how you can build the life you want, and you can really get creative with things and have both abundance and freedom a lot sooner if you look at it that way, rather than retirement means you're never going to work and you're never going to have earned income. It doesn't have to be that way, even though that's the way most people picture retirement.
Hey, Chris, you talked about year one. What do you think year two is going to look like for you? What types of changes are you going to have to make, or decisions you're going to have to make?
We're really kind of settling into a routine now and kind of figuring that out. So I don't have a great answer. We're kind of learning as we go. And a lot of what I write about is just that, is kind of, you know, I don't present myself as an expert who has all the answers, but we're kind of figuring things out. And as we do, I write about it, and it kind of creates a conversation and kind of helps other people. And it also helps me, though, as I get feedback in the form of comments and emails from readers. And so it's really nice in that way. I would say the things that we're kind of focusing on is really what is enough, like how much does my wife want to keep working? We kind of were looking at maybe getting into real estate, and do we even want to do that? Or are we just adding more busyness? Do we need more? Those are the kind of questions we're grappling with right now.
So it's priorities. Again, it comes down to these priorities and that alignment with your core values. That's what that you're working on. Thanks.
For sure.
And back to your point on the lifestyle that you really want and keeping that. So if someone listening is just starting their transition to early retirement, day one, day two, day three, what do's and don'ts would you pass along from your lessons learned so far?
Yeah, so I write over it at the website, caniretireyet.com, and that site was started by Darrow Kirkpatrick, and he's still my partner on the blog. And he retired about 6 or 7 years before me. He retired at the age of 50, so not quite as an extreme story as mine, but still very early compared to most people. And one thing he told me, so as I contacted him, I was just a reader of the blog, and I kind of sensed he was burning out, and I asked if he would want a partner on the blog, and he actually was receptive to that, so we worked out a deal. And then I told him I had these ambitions to write a book. And so he's like, you know, make sure, he's like, maybe just give yourself 6 months. And he said, you don't have to come onto the blog at any time. He said, I'm welcoming you. And he said, maybe just take 6 months. And I thought, there's no way. Like, I'm already writing. I really want to get started. I'm so excited about these concepts. And I wish I would have maybe not had taken on so much at one time between the move and the starting the blog and writing a book. And I think, like, it's hard to conceptualize, like, okay, you're working 40 hours a week plus commutes plus lunches. Like, for me, it was about 50 hours a week I was putting in. And I just couldn't imagine how I was going to fill that time. And I tell you, it gets filled. So I would just say allow space in your life and really kind of figure out what you want and maybe try to make changes more gradually. I think that was a big part of our problem is we made too many changes too quickly. And that's a lot of the stress that we had.
So, Chris, a lot of preparation on the financial side. On the non-financial side, where how you invest your time, how you prioritize, how you do that, what types of recommendations would you have for people to start thinking about that aspect of retirement in addition to the financial side?
You know, that's a really good and hard question. I think probably the place I would start is just allowing yourself some space because it's really hard to conceive how different life is when you're so used to, even for me, like I had a relatively early, a very early retirement at 40, but that still meant I was going to work 40, 50 hours a week for 15, 16 years. And it's really hard to just envision what your life is going to be like. So I'd say allow some space and some freedom and then just kind of, just be willing to be flexible and realize that things might not turn out exactly how you want. So give yourself some freedom to make changes and to have flexibility in your plans.
That's great advice. I actually saw that in your article. You said you retire to something, but also realize you can't do everything. So that's where that flexibility and adaptability really comes in. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think you read a lot as you start to get into retirement planning that you shouldn't retire from something, you should retire to something. And I think that's great advice because I think like in my career as a physical therapist, I got to witness people longitudinally. So people would come in and then they'd come back years later with a different problem. And I had a particular physician who I became friendly with and not like I didn't keep up with him, but I got to know him fairly well as a patient. And he came back years later with after he retired. And he was always a really jovial, happy guy. And I asked him, I said, I assume you're loving retirement. He said, oh, I hate it. And I said, well, why? And he said, you know, I think he just kind of felt like he lost his purpose. And he said, like, the only thing I like to do now, I don't have anything to do. So I go work out like 5-6 hours a day. And he ends up tearing his rotator cuff, which is why he's come to see me because he was overworking out. And now he was really depressed because he lost that. And so I think a lot of people don't really think, and I mean, I think I was much thought as I put into this, and I've been writing about this for 5 years. I don't think I put enough thought into what it was going to look like. I think we tend to really focus on the financial side and kind of underestimate the quote unquote softer side of this, but it's very important and a lot of people struggle with that.
Thanks for that. Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. A lot of wisdom that you've shared through your own experiences. How can people best follow you and your work going forward in your journey?
The best and easiest way to find me, I write at caniretireyet.com. I'm not very active on the social media. So that's the easiest way is just to reach out to me through the blog. And I'm pretty responsive there, whether through comments or through emails.
Great. Thanks again, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate
it. I'm happy to talk to you guys.
Well, great conversation today with Chris Mamula. Joe, what key points did you get from today's conversation?
Well, the first thing I was glad that he did was Chris really emphasized that the FIRE movement is really all about values. There is a lot being written about it. And I think there's a lot of different opinions about it, but I think essentially he really drove home values are at the center. It's about really designing the lifestyle that you want and really achieving both freedom and flexibility. So I think those are things that a lot of people can relate to. Secondly, I think I heard that there's a lot of balance involved. He talked about being intentional, but also about being flexible. And I think some of that comes from you need to be very disciplined on the financial side of the equation to be able to retire early these days, especially. But when you move into the softer side of retirement, as he mentioned it, you really have to have that flexibility because things can change. And there can be things that you don't expect. And it was clear that more than the financial side, there's also the softer side, which a year ago, the Retirement Manifesto, Fritz Gilbert mentioned in our podcast conversation with him. And then finally, his lesson and advice, don't take on too much all at once. There's a lot of change involved in transitioning to early retirement, and there can be some planning to make it more gradual that can be beneficial. How about you?
Yeah, a few things. First of all, the article that he wrote, The First Year of Early Retirement, has been one of the hardest of my life that we're going to post as part of the podcast. Definitely worth a read. I think anybody going through this it'll resonate with people. Points of this will resonate with everybody. So I think it's a really well-done article. And shares experiences. I can't wait to his second article on his second year. But it did definitely a couple of things that I'd like to point out is he mentioned the importance of structure. I've written about this and is actually one of the key things that I continue to adjust to. And I said, you know, how do you do this? How do you create this new structure as you go about your days? And it's most of it is really a journey for people. People going from work and from full-time work to something else, and not having work to anchor our lives can be a really hard transition if you're not ready for it. We will miss how the job basically centered our days in a lot of ways. Chris's article, he mentions a thing here. He says, when I retired, everything familiar changed in the course of a weekend. And that's pretty powerful. So you stop your work on one day, and the next, and on the Monday morning, you wake up and you go, well, it's not there anymore, and the structure's gone. So he desired a routine, and he admitted that he continues to work at it. So he's aware of his gaps, and I think that's great. But structure's really important. I'm glad he pointed that out. And then, Joe, you mentioned also this aspect of preparing well between the financial and the non-financial side. Chris prepared well financially, but admitted that spending time on the softer side of getting ready for this kind of transition is important and deserves a lot of focus. He mentioned it takes space, time, conversation. He has a really good relationship and a communication with his wife, which is really going to be a great strength and can help him tremendously. Trying things, and you try and figure it out how to rebalance and how to move forward on those areas that are not just financial is really important. So, and he gave some good advice too. He said, you know, people think you're going to retire to something, and that's really important, but you also can't do everything. Well, I thought that was powerful. So I really enjoyed speaking with him today.
Thanks for joining us today on The Retirement Conversation. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.